We're in Councils for the Church, as we have been for probably over a year, I'm thinking maybe 2 years. And we're on the last paragraph in the sentence, page 217 of this book. And it's titled, this section is titled Present Health Reform. And it says this: in our work, more attention should be given to the temperance reform. Every duty that calls for reform involves repentance, faith, and obedience. It means the uplifting of the soul to a new and nobler life. See, that right there is what gets all of us, you know, because those of us that strive on to perfection, in other words, because we want to get there, and whatever it takes for us to get there, we'll get there. This is one of the reasons I quit eating the meat and all that other stuff, too, just like all of you. Like, I would think, we're all trying to get ready for the Edenic diet anyway. I mean, that's one toss of the coin. But the other thing is, I want clarity of speech as well as clarity of mind. And the best way I know how to do that is to put in the soft machine that I'm running the fuel it was designed to run on. You know, like if I bought an engine, I'm not going to put milk in the gas tank. I'm going to put gasoline. Well, I've got a human body. I'm not going to put food in there that the creator of that human body says is going to harm it. And so, yeah, it does in fact uplift the soul to a new and nobler life. But she goes on. And it's not just the diet. You got the exercise and all that other good stuff in there too. But she says, thus every true reform has its place in the work of the third angel's message. Especially does the temperance reform demand our attention and support. At our camp meetings, annual meetings, we should... Oh, they only did it once a year. All right, so at our camp meetings, the annual meetings, we should call attention to this work and make it a living issue. We should present to the people the principles of true temperance and call for signers to the temperance pledge. Careful attention should be given to those who are enslaved by evil habits. We must lead them to the cross of Christ. But you can't do it in a way that's going to lead them to leave the church. I mean, granted, you can't please everybody at the same time. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. It's just some people are going to get upset no matter what you do. But you got to be as Christ-like as possible. And this is what always saddened my heart when I think back at the times that there was a brother in the faith. And he's still in the faith. His website still has our stuff on it. As a matter of fact, I found out the other day that he has a bunch of audios, which I have on my website, too, and I just found out the other, because I like listening to Alexander Scorby when I'm going to bed. And as I'm drifting off to sleep, I'm listening to the Bible and, the dramatized version. Thanks again, Brother Eli. And the thing is, I installed all this in my cell phone. And then I recently decided, oh, well, I may as well have another backup. So I stuck a 64 gig, SD chip in here, put the website on here, and completely forgot that Randy's stuff was in there, reading The Great Controversy or reading something. I can't remember what it was. But this MP3 player in here picked it up easily. And then, and so now I can listen to Illinois as I'm going off to bed, too. And but my point is, he left the church years ago because of the way some approached him in regards to his diet. And it wasn't handled properly. And, keep people like that in prayer. I praise God he's still alive and all that, because he had some health issues for a while. But good man, good man. But maybe he'll come back one day, hopefully. And for those of you that listen to the WTPR a lot, yeah, that's the same Randy. he's the one who called in. Like when I had the on-air thing, when we were doing the AM, the FM, and the satellite and internet radio, I'd never gotten the ham stuff. Well, I know some ham, operators that have put me online on their micro-broadcasts, but I never posted them online because even though it's legal, the FCC would still take a sledgehammer to their receivers. And so Randy was one of the guys that used to call in on a regular basis whenever I would do the show. So going on, she says, careful attention should be given to those who are enslaved by evil habits. We must lead them to the cross of Christ. And, again, do it with a Christ-like spirit, as gentle and as loving as you can. As we near the close of time, we must rise higher and still higher upon the question of health reform and Christian temperance, presenting it in a more positive and decided manner. We must strive continually to educate the people, not only by our words, but by our practice. Precept and practice combined have a telling influence. And so amen and amen. And you can see that too, especially those of us that have been walking in the faith after leaving, say, like the Catholic Church in my case, after so many decades. Eventually, someone like a sibling or two might even come up to you and mention that the scuttlebutt that started when you left the church turned out to be just that, scuttlebutt. And what I mean is they always, you know, like when my wife and I left the Catholic Church, because we were getting hot and heavy in it. I was a Eucharistic minister. I was teaching for the church, you know, the rosary every day, going to Mass every morning kind of a thing. And they all thought, yeah, I'm the next Pope, right? Yeah. But, well, you know what I mean. I was, of course, you can't be, I'm not going to get, even go there, but because I knew the church had problems even before the Internet. I was doing research on the church back then. And that's what led me to go open up the Bible because of my confusion. That and the Baptist that kept coming out from behind parked cars with Bibles in hand. But the thing is, after so many years, and what I love about this is even though we're hours away now, we're not like in the old neighborhood where they could see us on a regular basis when they could see the smile when they expect the frown. As far away as we are, they, I guess some went to the website and realized we never changed. We stayed firm. This wasn't a phase, as the scuttlebutt said. Oh, they'll be back, you know, like, because that's what everybody always said. They leave the Catholic Church, oh, they'll be back. I says, no, no, no. I denounced it as I denounced Satan and all he represents. And so, but some people don't believe you when you say something. And so, like she says here, precept and practice combined have a telling influence. You know, they're going to notice it. I mean, that's how I found Christ. Well, how I found Christ in others, and that led me to want to open up a Bible because I saw other people who claimed to be Christians, who I know before they became Christians, they were pretty bad. One was promiscuous, the other one was a heroin dealer. And the change was very obvious. But again, the scuttlebutt was, oh, they'll be back, or yeah, that's a phase, whatever the case is. You know, but no, watched them for a while and nothing changed. And so I opened up the Bible. Praise God. Anyway, chapter 39 is where we're headed next. And this one's titled The Importance of Cleanliness. And it's page 369 if you're, well, it depends on which book. It's actually 218, paragraph 1. I don't know why they got, well, it's two different ways I guess they compiled it. Dangerous, as you think. But it says, in order to have good health, we must have good blood, for the blood is the current of life. It repairs waste and nourishes the body. When supplied with the proper food elements and when cleansed and vitalized by contact with pure air, it carries life and vigor to every part of the system. I see a lot of people seem to miss that, especially when it comes to, and this is what gets me about the AMA. This shocked me even before I was a Christian, you know. Oops, knock something down here. Talk with my hands again. But even before I became a Christian, I noticed this at the AMA. Go into any hospital in the United States of America, and you're not going to find a single window that can be opened. In fact, you'll find them, and I couldn't believe this when I saw this. Some of these, the windows have like a gate on it, like they would in an insane asylum, where you literally have to get a torque welder to get that thing off the wall, to get it off the window. So you couldn't even get out if there was a fire. And how that's legal is beyond me. I mean, seriously, how is that legal? Especially when you got live oxygen. I mean, you got hot oxygen, you know, oxygen coming in, but well, somebody comes in with a match. You can't get out, but that's legal. But you try to build a house without a back door, ooh, you're in trouble. So it just shows you who's got the money. That's all that's going on there. But the thing is, without that fresh air, there's this one. Does anybody know that? I think it's septic. No, it's like, I can't remember the name of this one disease. 85% of the people that end up, my son ended up with it when he was in the hospital for a couple of months. And it can kill you when you get an immune system issue. But sepsis, yeah, that's it. You misspelled it, though. But, yeah, sepsis. There's no fresh air in a hospital, period, at all. And so that stuff stagnates. It floats around, and just everybody gets sick, and they pass that stuff around like it's candy. And, oh, yeah, they got every single one of the rooms before you walk in, you got this little foam alcohol dispenser that you're supposed to put and wash your hands with. And I used that a lot when I was in the hospital, you know, because of everything is disgusting in there. The nurses are sometimes, you have to stop and say, look, you know, I'm in here full garb, mask on, gloves. I don't care if you're a nurse. You're a human just like me. Leave this room and dress properly before you come in here doing anything with my son. But they get these strange rules and regs. But my point is on this is that hold on, let me get this. Okay. All right, but my point is why they do that is beyond me. Why they can't just open up those windows? But she says the more perfect the circulation, the better will this work be accomplished. The external application of water is one of the easiest and most satisfactory ways of regulating the circulation of the blood. A cold or cool bath is an excellent tonic. Warm baths open the pores and thus aid in the elimination of impurities. Now, let me stop here. Well, let me read on. She goes, both warm and neutral baths soothe the nerves and equalize the circulation. Now, because it's the year 2018 coming up on, and because the AMA has pumped all sorts of falderol into the minds of many, most people are going to think that water is going to heal you. Oh, please, come on. There's antibiotics, there's this, there's that. You know, they're just going to call you a nutcase, right, or a quack. You know the original term for quack wasn't on the natural doctors. It was on the AMA doctors. But they used it against the real doctors back in the day. That used the tonics, as they called it, or the quackery that they, you know, like a gorilla battery and stuff. This stuff works. A gorilla battery actually works. You got a toothache, use a gorilla battery. Kills the toothache, right? Gets rid of the infection or whatever. Never tried it yet, but I know it works. I've seen it work on other things. Or colloidal silver. They still use colloidal silver to this day in the hospitals. They won't admit it unless you press them on it. But if somebody comes in there with an STD, like a young girl comes in there with an STD, specifically a certain type, and she gives birth, the first thing that baby gets in his eyes or her eyes is colloidal silver, right in the eyes instantly. Otherwise, they're going to get sued, you know, because they can blind that child coming out, and it'll be the doctor's fault. So they put colloidal silver instantly because it kills infection instantly. Some hospitals, praise God, have actually gotten around to the basic reality of using colloidal silver is a mist, like a spray, and just clean things with it because it instantly kills everything. And that was considered quackery when they invented antibiotics because there was money to be made in the antibiotics. It's just like with marijuana. It became illegal for two reasons. Number one, it's got an awful lot of healing properties, but not if you smoke it. Okay, that'll still mess with your lungs. But, the CBD oils and stuff like that, there's things in there that can heal you. And you can literally run an engine. As a matter of fact, the first Model T only ran on hemp oil. But they convinced them into going into crude oil because mom and pop can grow marijuana in their backyard and get fuel. Mom and pop ain't going to come up with the money for an oil rig. You know? So that way the millionaires can come up with the money for the oil rigs, pump the oil, and then, of course, destroy our atmosphere, as Sister White also prophesied, by the way, that the atmosphere would be destroyed in our days. And now they're just dumping stuff up there. I mean, look at that, the chemtrail thing with, I'm thinking what they got nowhere else to dump that stuff. And so they just spray it all. And that, and there's a reason behind it, like with dosing people, but that's a whole nother, I'm not going to get into that. You know, because you can go off on these tangents. Just like with people that say, why don't you preach on the Illuminati or Opus Dei or the Jesuits? Well, I do on the Jesuits on occasion, but this is, yeah, well, why? Why not go to these middlemen? going off on these tangents because they're all involved in one area, and that's the Vatican. You got to expose the big guy. You know, like when I got a problem with a company, I'm not going to call the manager or the supervisor. I want to talk to the owner. And so anyway, she goes on. Exercise quickens and equalizes the circulation of blood, but in idleness, the blood does not circulate freely, and the changes in it, so necessary to life and health, do not take place. So that's one of the reasons I got sick a while ago, because, you know, sitting behind a computer after I went full-time in the ministry, doing all this work online, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, sitting behind a computer all day long, yeah, got to me. You know, and I praise God for the eight laws of health and what I understood and grew in there. And I feel guilty today because, you know, working on the video and stuff like that and, you know, sun going down so quick, I didn't get a chance to do my mile on the, you know, my walk. I like to do more than a mile, actually, to be honest with you, but minimum a mile a day, especially outside. But if it's cold, I'll just get on the elliptical, watch Fox News or something while I'm on there. But anyway, she goes on. The skin, too, becomes inactive. Impurities are not expelled as they should be if the circulation has been quickened by vigorous exercise. The skin kept in a healthy condition and the lungs fed with plenty of pure, fresh air. Now, here, this is, think about this. Over 150 years ago, she's talking about this. And the AMA is just now catching up, figuring this stuff out. And we're the quacks. She goes on, the lungs should be allowed the greatest freedom possible. Their capacity is developed by free action. It diminishes if they are cramped and compressed. Hence, the ill effects of the practice so common, especially in sedentary pursuits, like sitting down behind a computer all day like I do, of stooping at one's work. In this position, it is impossible to breathe deeply. Superficial breathing soon becomes a habit, and the lungs lose their power to expand. That's scary, especially if you're underwater and you want to hold your breath a little longer. You can't. She says, thus, an insufficient supply of oxygen is received. The blood moves sluggishly. The waste, poisonous matter, which should be thrown off in the exhalations of the lungs, or from the lungs, is retained, and the blood becomes impure. Not only the lungs, but the stomach, liver, and brain are affected. And keep in mind, she is not a doctor. The creator of all that is seen and unseen is giving her this information. You know, and we've already proven, the fact that she is a prophet. I mean, just the way the Jesuits treat her writings by rewriting them, you know, and calling her a plagiarist and, you know, all that crazy stuff they got on the internet about her. I mean, when I first found out about her, that's what I thought. Until I found out that the majority of the people that were slamming her, their sources came from Roman Catholic sources. And I thought, oh, there's something up here. So I started digging. And I found out that, yeah, I mean, especially if you go to vbates.com, where her original writings really are. The stuff you get out there now, like especially from even whiteestate.org, where they're adding the NIV, the NASB stuff in there, removing stuff out of there. They're treating her writings the same way they did the Bible. Look at the NIV. Thousands of verses missing. Well, a lot of stuff in her stuff's missing now, too. So, but the thing that I like about this is we have access to the real, you know, the good stuff and, up there in Oregon at vbates.com. That's V for Vern. He died in March of this year, by the way. But his daughter's running it for him now. But vbates.com and the books are very, 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 very inexpensive because of the way they bind them and stuff like that, which they need to find a better way of doing that, but at least it works to the point where it gets it out there. So anyway, she goes on to say that the skin becomes sallow, digestion is retarded, the heart is depressed, the brain is clouded, the thoughts are confused. Gloom settles upon the spirits. The whole system becomes depressed and inactive and peculiarly susceptible to, you know, to disease. And, it's one of the reasons you see a lot of people, too, that when they retire, they die within a few years. Because they sit back and they say, oh, I can't wait to retire. I want to sit back and just grow hair all day. Yeah, okay. What size box would you like to be buried in and where? Because if you don't stay active, it's going to kill you. You know, She says, the lungs are constantly throwing off impurities and need to be constantly supplied with fresh air. Impure air does not afford the necessary supply. Impure air does not afford the necessary supply of oxygen, and the blood passes to the brain and other organs without being vitalized. Hence the necessity of thorough ventilation. And this is why, you know, I still want to get outside, even if it's cold, breathe in a few times, get out there and get. Isn't that neat the way he made us, though? I mean, okay, fine. The Bible does say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And just going with an electron microscope, just looking at how a single cell is created and the interdependence of it all, it just blows your mind. And that's one cell out of trillions, right? But for him to create lungs that have filters in them that not only expel things but bring things in, I just, you know, that's why I call it the soft machine. You know, like we're it's an amazing thing that he has done in creating us. And I've also noticed that too when it comes to the, you know, not getting the oxygen and not getting the exercise, the confusion does set in. And it makes it a little easier for disease to come in, but harder, like with short-term memory for some reason, you know. But she goes on to say that to live in close, ill-ventilated rooms where the air is dead and vital, vitiated, weakens the entire system. It becomes peculiarly sensitive to the influence of cholera. I got to figure out how to say that word. That's a tongue twister for me for some reason. But sensitive to the influence of cold. And a slight exposure induces disease. And so as she goes on, it is close confinement indoors that makes many women pale and feeble. They breathe the same air over and over until it becomes laden with poisonous matter thrown off through the lungs and pores, and impurities are thus conveyed back to the blood. Now, walk into a hospital. You better pump up some echinacea into your system before walking in, by the way. That's what I do. If I'm going to go see a bunch of people or go to a hospital to visit someone, I'll take a couple of tablets or capsules of echinacea with golden seal. And it kind of gives you a little bit of a boost. And you're not going to be in there all the time. But it's crazy the way it's all set up. And it's literally designed just to make money. And even if it means killing people, then money, you know, then they can make money there too by harvesting your organs. But how many times have we heard, like that one, Healing Cancer from Within, that DVD? I can't find it now, and I really wish I would be able to find it. And I had it years ago, and I used to send copies to everybody. Now I think you can just buy it online, where there's all sorts of testimonies of people who were told by the AMA that, well, if you want it the way the normality behind it all is, your insurance money ran out, so we're not going to bother helping you anymore. But their excuse is, oh, well, your cancer has gotten to the fourth stage. There's nothing we can do. Chemo's useless to begin with, but it actually kills people. But this is nothing we can do. And then they send them home to die, literally. And some of these people are smart enough to actually go and check out natural methods. Why they wait until the last minute is strange. You know, I think that's the first place you should go. You know, and I mean, it's good to go to the AMA to get diagnosed. It's good to go if you got a bone sticking out, you know, bad accident. I mean, they're amazing when it comes to some of the things they can do, reattaching, body parts and surgery. And I mean, I'll give them that. They're really blessed in that area, and they've got wisdom there. But that internal medicine thing and the way they manufacture. They turn people into merchandise. Yeah, that's not good. But these natural healing places, there are many of them around the world, and I'd love to be able to be part of one. I used to be involved with UG Pines until they actually sold out to the SDA Church, and I think Agatha, didn't she die recently or something like that? And so there's not really much you can do there. My son went there the second time. He says, Dad, it's nothing like it was the first time, because he was more or less healed the first time. And he says, and so the second time was that we just wasted all that money sending him there. Nothing. It was a big, literal thousands of dollars just to go there for a week. And which I'll, if we could find a place that's similar, or if we can start doing it that way, some of us do that. I know some of us have had success in that. So some people are deathly ill, and I'm thinking we might even have someone that we're going to mention tomorrow in the testimony service again, because this happens a lot where the natural methods do heal people. But everything from colloidal silver to just plain activated charcoal. I mean, all these things that you can do to help people. We could set something up to that point where we have people come to our homes. But again, you got to have the buildings. You got to have the knowledge. I mean, some of us have the knowledge. Like my wife, she went to school for a couple of years, and she's very well versed in that area. And I've got a little bit, but I'm picking the crumbs off of her table. I mean, I got to go to her to get answers on this stuff. I focus in different areas. And then there's some of a brother or two in the church and sister as well that do understand this and have this talent from on high on how to heal people, and it's really working, and I praise God for that. But anyway, getting back to all this, she says, many are suffering from disease because they refuse to receive into their rooms at night the pure night air. The free, pure air of heaven is one of the richest blessings we can enjoy. Now, I agree with this 100%. I didn't when I was a teenager and all this other stuff, because, you rarely open up the windows in our house. All the years I was growing up, this is one of the reasons maybe my growth was stunted, I never got past 6'2", and I was always very thin. But then when I got married, my wife, she's throwing those windows open all the time, even in winter. That's annoying. But that's okay, because, get the house cleaned out. Because every now and then she'll do that. Like, especially if I'm going to be gone for the day, I come home, and I'm thinking, wow, it's kind of chilly in here. And I find out, she cracked open, literally opened up every window on a windy, cold day and just blasted. And that's a good idea, do that. But then it's going to take a while for the house to heat up, but it's worth it. A couple extra bucks for heating just for that day, that's worth it. But she goes on to say that scrupulous cleanliness is essential to both physical and mental health. Impurities are constantly thrown off from the body through the skin. Its millions of pores are quickly clogged unless kept clean by frequent bathing. Now, keep in mind, back in her day, I think some people bathed once a year. most people today do it daily, or three times a week. That's how I do it. I just go three times a week, unless, of course, I'm, outside doing a bunch of work and I'm getting all filthy, dirty, and sweaty and stuff. Well, then, you mow the lawn, get out there and take a shower afterwards, because you'd be surprised how many critters are on you after you get done mowing the lawn. But frequent bathing and the impurities which should pass through the skin become an additional burden to the other eliminating organs. Most persons would receive benefit from a cool or tepid, like a lukewarm bath every day. Isn't that lukewarm, tepid? Morning or evening. Instead of increasing the liability to take cold, a bath properly taken fortifies what? Instead of increasing the liability to take cold, a bath properly taken fortifies against cold because it improves the circulation. Okay, that was the strangest thing. It's our grammar there. But then again, this is 1800s, and so that's something that we've run across many times. But she says the blood is brought to the surface in a more easy and regular flow is obtained. The mind and the body are alike invigorated. The muscles become more flexible. The intellect is made brighter. And see, this is another thing, too, I noticed, too, like since doing the daily walks and stuff like that, and the hydrating, the drinking of the water, pH-balanced water, too, by the way. And I live on a farm, so it's well water that's been filtered. And then I have another filter that makes it pH pro. I think it's like 8.8, maybe 8.5 by now. The filter's old. But that's all very important. And I've noticed how it's not only cleared my mind a little better. I don't lose my voice as often. Like if I fast, well, yeah. I don't lose my voice until the fast is over and I start eating. And then I guess that shock to the system, I get laryngitis for a day, you know. And it's just, it's always, I think it has to do too with it, you know, getting kicked in the throat when I was a teenager, but, you know, or kneed anyway. I got kneed in the throat. Not a pleasant experience. Let's just put it that way. Very, very, very frightening. But yeah, the intellect is made brighter. I mean, it's easier to understand and clear a mind. And I really need that because, see, that's one of the things I pray for too, because I don't want to, another reason for not wanting to commit sin is I want to be able to better understand his word and to be better able to explain it, you know. And it's not just for my children, loved ones, or people I talk on the phone or emails. It's, you know, my precious church family. And to this day, I've never been part of a church that, like this, never, especially with the overwhelming majority being on fire for the work and striving on to perfection. It's like, whoa, you know how many years Fran and I looked around for a church like this? Anyway, going on. The bath is a soother of the nerves. Bathing helps the bowels, the stomach, and the liver, giving health and energy to each, and it promotes digestion. And I'm thinking she's talking, now she's not talking shower, she's talking bath. And I myself prefer bathing. It is what it is, especially on a cold winter morning. It really does help getting in a hot tub. But anyway, not a hot tub. We don't have like a big old, what do they call it? Yeah, I guess they call them hot tubs. But, you know, with the jets, no, we don't have any of that. Although that would be nice, you know. But she says, it is important also that the clothing be kept clean. The garments worn absorb the waste matter that passes off through the pores. If they are not frequently changed and washed, the impurities will be reabsorbed. Well, that's not good. Every form of uncleanliness tends to disease. Death-producing germs abound in dark, neglected corners, in decaying refuse, in dampness and mold and must. No waste vegetables or heaps of fallen leaves should be allowed to remain near the house to decay and poison the air. I think she calls that miasma or something like that. Nothing unclean or decaying should be tolerated within the home. In towns or cities regarded perfectly healthful, many an epidemic of fever has been traced to decaying matter about the dwelling of some careless householder. Wow, that's interesting. Perfect cleanliness, plenty of sunlight, careful attention to sanitation and every detail of the home life. And again, this is the 1800s, and so the outhouse had a lot to do with this as well. They didn't have the indoor plumbing, I don't think. I don't know exactly when that all came into being. But she says, careful attention to the sanitation and every detail of the home life are essential to freedom from disease and to the cheerfulness and vigor of the inmates of the home. Teach the little ones that God is not pleased to see them with unclean bodies and untidy, torn garments. Having the clothing neat and clean will be one means of keeping the thoughts pure and sweet, especially should every article which comes in contact with the skin be kept clean. You know, you got to think about it, you know, because I kind of abuse this area because I shouldn't do this, but I often will wear a pair of jeans for 3 or 4 days. But unless I'm working out in the yard, well, then forget about it. You kneel down a couple of times, yeah. And, yeah, they're messed up. But in winter, you know, I got to stop doing that even then because, the skin, it's your biggest organ. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to be changing my ways, but then that's going to mean more laundry. But, oh, well. She says, especially should every article which comes into contact with the skin be kept clean. Truth never places her delicate feet in a path of uncleanliness, or impurity. He who was so particular that the children of Israel should cherish habits of cleanliness will not sanction any impurity in the homes of his people today. And why is it? Well, we know what it says in the book of Malachi, right? I'm the Lord, I got to change that. Or how about where it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So if he had an issue with this back then and he was telling him how to do this back then, are we superhumans or something? We haven't gotten the glorified bodies yet. So, yeah, what was good for them is good for us. And so God looks with disfavor on uncleanliness of any kind. And so, what's this? Oh, almost over with this one. Oh, wow, that's the whole chapter. Because I just noticed we're going into chapter 40 here. It says truth. Oh, I already read that. Okay. Unclean, neglected corners in the house will tend to make impure, neglected corners in the soul. Wow. Heaven is, yeah, and that's something I noticed too. And somebody brought this up a while ago. Not here. I read this online when you're trying to find out if a teenager's got a problem with the occult or suicide or anything like that. Look at their rooms, their bedrooms. And are they a neat freak? Well, that's a good thing. But is everything just thrown all over the place? Well, if that's the case, they're going to continue to be sick and sickly, or get sick and then be, sickly. She says, heaven is pure and holy, and those who pass through the gates of the city of God must here be clothed with inward and outward purity. So amen and amen. And the next one, I guess we'll pick it up next week, is the food we eat. And that's a big one. That's something we all could probably use help in, no? I would think. Anyway, if you can kneel, why don't we finish in prayer? Okay, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with your presence as you promised whenever two or more are gathered. And thank you for giving us an understanding and blessing us with the changing of the showbread and helping us to get healthier and teaching us where we're lacking and where we need to change things up. Thank you for blessing in that respect so that we can go forward stronger in mind as in heart. Our spirit to go forward and to glorify you and to help those that you send our way. Thank you again for having such long suffering towards us and loving us first and forgiving us the way you do and blessing us with an opportunity to not only share our faith, but to also make it home. And so please continue to bless us in that way and bless everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are spiritually as well as physically or both physically or spiritually sick. Please bless them too. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.